Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Yes, back again. Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 5th of July. This is January even. That's a good start. The first Viewpoint of 2021. What could possibly go wrong? Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day on today's show. Obviously going to be talking about the latest in terms of lockdown. Any thoughts you have on Brexit now that the transition period is over and the UK is officially out? There have been some issues at the borders with people being denied access to flights in because of various misunderstandings about documentation, and also the Gibraltar situation as well has been challenging, to put it mildly. If you want to get in touch with today's show, I'm with you for the next 2 hours. If you want to get involved with the show, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
My guest today, Andres Gallardo, will be giving us a rundown of the Spanish scene, and I'll be joined also by Martin Sayer. But first of all, let's have a look at what's happening with the papers in the UK and also in Spain. Return to lockdown and a picture of embattled Prime Minister Boris Johnson seems to be the main theme. The front pages all lead with Boris Johnson's decision to put England into a new lockdown. It's back to square one, suggests the Daily Mail, describing the measures as the most draconian since last spring. The Daily Telegraph understands the tipping point for the Prime Minister came yesterday when he was told that more than 80,000 people in the UK had tested positive for coronavirus on the 29th of December. The Guardian says the crackdown comes amid catastrophic figures for hospital admissions in England and warning of a grim death toll by the end of the month. The FT cites John Edmonds, an epidemiologist at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, warning that it was now baked in that the UK's COVID death toll would exceed 100,000 people. The Daily Mirror describes lockdown as yet another U-turn by the Prime Minister. It accuses the government of shameful bungling, indecision and weakness. Shameful bungling, indecision and weakness, it says, which once again, it says, means it's down to the public to show strength, self-sacrifice and kindness. The Metro calls it lockdown number 3, explaining that it's now against the law to leave home other than for essential reasons. In fact, England's new rules only become law early on Wednesday, tomorrow, obviously, the Financial Times. So Mr. Johnson's sharp switch in position has resulted in the immediate closure of all schools until mid-February. The Guardian reminds its readers that it was just hours since the Prime Minister urged millions of pupils to return to classrooms, but they now have to switch to online learning. It highlights Mr. Johnson's admission that parents would reasonably ask why we did not make the decision sooner. The Daily Telegraph points to the Prime Minister's explanation that he wasn't closing schools because they were unsafe, but because they were vectors of the virus. The Daily Express describes the new lockdown as tough, but says that 13 million people are set to be vaccinated in weeks, declaring the vaccine will end the struggle. The Iron newspaper says shielding has been reintroduced as Mr. Johnson bows to scientific advisers, and the Prime Minister believes that by mid-February, if things go well, all care homes residents, carers over 70s, frontline medics, social care workers, and clinically vulnerable people should be vaccinated. The Times describes the plan as a race against time, while The Sun calls for one last push following the decision to shut Britain again, quoting the Prime Minister's words that we are entering the last phase of the struggle. The Daily Star pokes fun at Mr. Johnson's indecisiveness, superimposing his face onto the Little Britain character Vicky Pollard and splashing her yeah but no but yeah catchphrase over its front page. The paper says the Prime Minister finally made up his mind to put the country into lockdown and shut classrooms, just a day after assuring the nation that schools were safe. The Daily Telegraph's Matt cartoon pictures an elderly man gazing out of the window of his living room saying, "Now a ghastly South African strain of COVID and even tougher restrictions. God, I miss 2020. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister's decision-making, or therein lack of, is fair game for many of the paper's editorial and comment pieces. For The Guardian, John Kreis accuses the Prime Minister of being pathologically unable to make the right calls at the right time. And his indecision, he says, costs lives. The sketch writer believes that, like clockwork, the government does what most reasonable people would have done several weeks earlier. And in The Eye, Oliver Duff claims that COVID-19 thrives on indecision. He thinks teachers, students and parents are justified in feeling angry about what he says with Mr. Johnson's amateurish decision to urge pupils to return to schools across the country, only to close them hours later. But the Telegraph's editorial praises Mr. Johnson for being commendably reluctant to put the country into hibernation and the inevitable negative knock-on effects, arguing that earlier lockdowns in other parts of the UK and other countries have made no difference. Looking at the front page of El País in English, looking at theirs, Catalonia imposes parametral lockdown in municipalities in a bid to slow the coronavirus spread. There are 8 municipal lockdowns in Andalusia at the moment as well. Also, COVID restrictions and Brexit confusion see UK nationals turned away from flights in Spain. Slow rollout of COVID-19 vaccines in Spain raises fears of missing campaign targets. Just 6% of weekly doses were administered in the Madrid region in the first 7 days of the vaccination program, with a similar story seen in Catalonia. Holidays conceal magnitude of third coronavirus wave in Spain. And new coronavirus infections increase by 25% in a week in Spain. Half of the country's territories are once again above the extreme risk level in terms of the 14-day cumulative number of cases per 100,000 inhabitants. Going back once again to the front pages of the papers to see exactly what they're saying, all of them, it seems, have a picture of Boris Johnson. Lockdown 3, the worst sequel yet. That's The Eye's take on it. Public is ordered to stay at home again to save lives as Britain's health emergency worsens. The Metro, lockdown number 3. PM plunges England into a tough new regime as COVID-19 alert raised to its highest level. The Times, return to lockdown, all schools close and exams on hold. Restrictions begin in England tomorrow. Weeks ahead, hardest yet, warns the Prime Minister. The Daily Telegraph, the weeks ahead will be the hardest yet, but end in sight. And also they lead on the story of the Scottish MP who faces jail as she is charged over a COVID journey. The Guardian: PM imposes new lockdown and warns worst yet to come. Johnson promises end in sight with plans for millions of vaccinations. They've also got a story about Assange winning a court victory against the United States. The Daily Mail: it's back to square one. Lockdown till mid-February, all schools shut, exams axed, work from home unless impossible, golf and tennis off, and no holidays in UK or abroad. The Sun: Boris shuts Britain again. One last push, stay home like in March. 3 million to get the jab by 15th of February, and highest threat level ever. The Daily Express: new lockdown is tough, but vaccine will end struggle. 13 million to get jab in weeks. The Mirror: virus blow, vaccine hope, lockdown three. After the shameful bungling, the indecision and weakness of our government, it's time for the strength, self-sacrifice and kindness of the people. Once again, it's down to us. And the Daily Star: yeah, but no, but yeah, but no, but yeah, but no, but yeah, but no, but yeah. Prime Minister souvenir edition: Prime Minister finally makes up mind about lockdown three. Indecisive PM Bozo Johnson calls him. And those are your headlines. Those are your headlines. This Tuesday, the 5th of January, if you want to get involved with the show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Indeed. Right then, we're 16, 17 minutes into the programme. It's the time of the day, or the time of the show, we welcome on Andres Gallardo for an uptake on Spanish news. Good morning to you, Andres.
Good morning, Giles. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. 2021, there was social mixing allowed over the Christmas festivities for some regions in Spain. A curfew until 1 o'clock. What do we think the outcome is going to be on that one, as we see 25% cases more, apparently, according to today's papers?
Well, the cases keep rising, and I expect that we'll have more restrictions coming in the next few days. But what's caught my attention in the last couple of days is the vaccination program in Spain. We started with on the 21st of December when the European Union approved the vaccine and it was rolled out. It was all good news all around, thinking that we're going to have a program going to vaccinating the population. Pedro Sanchez announced that by July, 70% of the population would be vaccinated and normal life could resume. The reality is that apart from the customary picture of the first person vaccinated, which was very similar to what they did in the UK, and all the papers and all the declarations from the government saying this is the beginning of the end and everything else, we are on the 5th of January, and 0.1% of the population have been vaccinated. You don't have to be a mathematician to realize that to get to 70% at this rate is going to take July 2023. So that's not so good news. The worst of all is the way politicians treat us, because the excuse that is being given for the low level of vaccination up to date is two things. One, logistics. But it did, apparently something happened in Belgium with Pfizer and there was a slight hiccup with delivering the vaccines. And the second one, which makes me laugh, is there were too many bank holidays, you see, so the vaccination program couldn't be up and running because of the bank holidays. I mean, to me, that in the middle of this pandemic and going through what we're going through, to say that the bank holidays and they cannot vaccinate is completely unacceptable. So I anticipated logistical problems when Pfizer announced that the vaccine had to be kept minus 80 degrees and everything else. But we've had time since that announcement to now to be able to put a logistical effort to cover all that and the vaccination program to be rolled out at a much higher speed. Because at the moment, we're getting more positive cases than people vaccinated, so that's not the right route to go. Let's hope that in the weeks to come, that's reversed and the program reaches as many people that need it urgently, especially the elderly and most vulnerable groups, and then to the rest of the population. But at the moment, we've seen shambles again, and it's a combination of the regional governments taking over the programs, not a clear message and a clear plan from central government. So, as usual, all these layers of administration that we have in Spain leave us in a situation that is chaotic.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, this whole situation of we're not working because there are bank holidays, I mean, we are in the middle of an unprecedented pandemic here at the moment. And to think that people go, well, you know, it's the Christmas period, we can't possibly open. I mean, it does beg your belief, isn't it?
Well, they should have been planned. We knew that during the Christmas period we would have the vaccines delivered. So there should have been already a plan to deal with the bank holidays and we shortage of staff and everything else. Look, the best logistical efforts are always done by the armies in any country. Logistics in the army are key to be able to be operational. Why in Spain we have this thing about not using the army for anything? Because it's politically incorrect to use the army. But in this particular case, leave the politics aside and use the expertise of people who can deliver all these. But we haven't done it. And yet again, it's frustrating for the population because we were told a couple of weeks ago, the beginning of the end, this is, you know, New Year is going to be fantastic. And we are here on the 5th of January and pathetic 0.1% of the population have been vaccinated. It's a terrible figure and that has to be reversed.
I mean, you say there's a reluctance to use the army, but going back to March and April, I mean, I remember seeing army teams on the streets in Madrid cleaning up. You know, the cleaning program that went ahead, the sterilization program that went ahead, the sanitization program that went ahead, and there were army trucks on the streets. There were army trucks on the streets at patrols on the roundabouts, which scared the bejesus out of several people.
Yeah, but the problem is that people went up in arms saying, why the army? Why are we using the army? This is taking over. And it's just like it seemed there was a right-wing conspiracy to go back to 1936 or something like that. I mean, and then they had to withdraw the army from those duties. They did manage to get, without uniforms, I have to say, the cleaning of old people's homes. So they did that. But there is this reluctancy to use the army for anything in Spain. And it's a shame because, as I say, the logistics of armies are the strongest point.
And also in the midst of all this, one of the most familiar figures of the crisis thus far has been the Minister for Health, Alia, and he's stepping down.
Right, okay. This is another one that I cannot understand. You can argue that the Health Minister, Mr. Illa, has been a good or a bad one. I mean, everyone has got their opinion about what the guy has done. But what he has done, announcing that he's stepping down, for the only reason just to go and be the candidate for the regional election for the Socialist Party in Catalonia, to me, it's a disgrace. because he's pure spin. They're utilizing his figure, his popular figure, because he's on TV all the time, for political gain. And he's leaving his post at the most important time, where new measures have to be put into place and the vaccination program has to work. And he's stepping down to go to be a candidate on a regional election. I mean, that is it's disgusting, to be honest. Just imagine that Winston Churchill in 1944 decided to step down as prime minister because there was an election in 1945, and left in the middle of the war to go and do, you know, sort of a campaign for to gain votes. We are in a similar situation here. It's not Second World War, but it's a pandemic that has hit the whole world very hard. And suddenly to announce that he's leading to do something else, to gain some votes in a part of the country, I think it's really bad. I mean, they're treating the citizens of this country as we were all stupid. And it's hard to see, because you realize that the politicians of all colors, they're all spin and marketing, and there's no real measures behind what they announce that can be applied to better the country in different aspects. All they do is just trying to gain votes. And to trying to position themselves in a way that can perpetuate their positions, their privileged positions, in governments of all colours, whether they're regional governments or they're central governments or even town halls.
Looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in, good morning to you, Richard. It says, good morning. I'd argue the best people at logistics are Amazon or supermarkets, but agreed, the military should be used as they're not doing much. It really doesn't matter what the public think or say, just get it done, because politicians worry too much of what the public think of them. It's too short-termist. If nothing was political, then we would see cross-party coherence, but we don't.
We won't see cross-party coherence, because here the opposition are continued to be to do the opposition to everything they do, and that's had a negative impact on this pandemic. The fact that they couldn't agree to a common purpose between the political parties. Look. The PP say that Sanchez doesn't want to talk to them. Sanchez say the PP are not agreeing to what he's doing. They're throwing stones at each other's roof all the time instead of sitting down and get a common purpose. That's very typical Spanish as well, I have to say. I mean, we are a polarized country. We've always been, and I guess we'll always will be. But we all thought that perhaps this pandemic will change that dynamic. It hasn't.
We've got some callers on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles, and your listeners. It's Jason.
Morning, Jason. Happy New Year.
And same to you. Thank you. What I'd like to say is that... I've got a certain empathy with the governments in the world. We're reacting to a situation. We're not in control of this battle. It seems that nature or the virus is in control of this battle, and things unfold in real time that we are reacting to. I'm not anti-vax. I do believe that this is nature trying to cleanse the planet. I do not believe the virus is man-made. I believe the virus has sprung from natural habitat being cut down and animals being... pushed into an ever-shrinking pocket of survival. Viruses transmitting between species. That's where it's come from, at the hands of man. Having said all that, man has reacted in a very selfish way. We saw this with the PPE, as richer countries bought up the PPE. We now see the vaccine. And the organisation set up to help poorer countries vaccinate their populace, which is, I'm sure Stephen Ritz will correct me, VaxX has only got $2 billion, which is a drop in the ocean when you're talking trillions of money been floating around. So man is disunited and selfish, looking after his own survival and selfish national interest. And for this reason, we've made a mistake, because we've thrown out all these vaccines, different types for the first time, one virus. And what we've overlooked is the combinations of all these different vaccines being thrown at one virus. And we forget in our arrogance that we're one side of this battle. Nature does what it does. It will throw a mutation back, maybe in response to this hack-hock concoction of things being thrown at it. And this is where the danger lies. Man's selfishness has, in his haste, has overlooked the reaction to the combination, the multitude of vaccines. And this is something that the professors cannot say is not possible. And there the danger lies. So basically, we've cut our own throat, Giles. And anybody who thinks that I'm talking nonsense, ask yourself this question. We've got a virus that we know is transmissible to any mammal in the world. But this virus only wants to take us down. It's only killing man in mass. It killed the minks in the farm, which were in captivity. It's almost intelligent, and it's got our eyes on us. So then you ask yourself, do you really want to win this battle? Because who's the enemy here? It's not nature. It's man who is destroying other animals in his planet. The enemy is man. So maybe it's best that man's gone and then the world can recover. That's what I'd like to say to everybody. Giles?
Giles?
Hello, Andres. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, lost you for a minute.
Sorry, yeah. 952-78-4000. I just pushed the wrong button there. My mistake. It's rusty getting back into the Viewpoint seat after two weeks.
It's not even Monday morning, Giles.
It's not even Monday morning. We've got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gustafson.
Morning, Kate. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and to Andre. Andre doesn't know he's born. His sweeping condemnation of politicians in a sort of grand slam is not the mark of his normal intelligence. If he looks at what's happening in England today rather than Great Britain, he would see a genuine object of criticism. Spain seems to me to be doing quite well, relatively speaking.
As opposed to the UK, you're saying, Kate, or the US?
Yes, the yesterday's performance, there was a decision taken at lunchtime and announced, and then later in the day at 8 p.m. there's another announcement, exactly the opposite.
Right.
That's playing by the seat of one's pants, cheers.
Thank you very much for the call in there. Andres, I'm going to take a quick break. Come back. It's okay.
I was just going to say, it's no consolation to look at other countries that are worse than us. It does seem that what's happening in the UK is more than confusing and quite damaging. But that doesn't mean that we have to, be happy. Because what I pointed out today, there are mainly two things. I think the vaccination program should have been run much more smoothly in getting to more people quicker, and that's a matter of logistics. And the second thing is that the health minister should take and continue to take responsibility at least until the pandemic is over or until the next election, and not just to use his figure, his popular figure, to gain votes. I think that is the two points that I've made. There are two things that could be corrected, especially the vaccination program and the improvement of the logistics is something that has to be done and done quickly. We've had things since March to prepare, we are where we are. I mean, the hospitals are still at breaking point. We've got a lot of positive cases on a daily basis, and the death toll keeps rising, so the vaccination program and the logistics of it, it should be more than a priority. We should be all concentrating on helping there. and get it rolled out to most of the population.
Going to take a short break and bring in Martin Sawyer back with Neil Viewpoint after this.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And we go live to the line straight away. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning. It's Marlene in Kelpie.
Good morning, Marlene. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes, what I want to say is, and I understand, but the English who live here, they're always deciding to talk about what's happening in Spain and what's happening in England, and it's better here than in England and all that sort of thing. But don't you understand, the Spanish are only really what's happening in Spain, politically and everything. They're not really all that bothered about what's happening in England. I mean, my husband, we're English, but we lived here many, many years, and my husband, we're English. All he cares about is listening to the Spanish, what's happening in Spain, and its politics and everything, not too much about England. And often when I say something about England, he says, look, but we live in Spain, what are you talking about? And he starts telling me all what's happening in Spain, politically and everything. Do you understand?
And
I'm trying to say.
Yes. So we've just been talking about Spain.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
They ring up and say, look, and I understand. They say, oh, but because I love Spain. I do. And I see the difference between what's happening in England and in Spain. But they'll always say, come up and say, like this said before, well, you should know, you know, in England it's worse than it's happening here. Well, maybe that's true. But in the end, and then to talk about the politics, the Spanish basically are only interested in what is happening in Spain. And a lot of them don't like politically what is happening in Spain. You understand?
Yes, I think I do, but Marlene, thank you. Thank you very much for your call in, though, and have a great New Year.
Thank you very much.
952 78 4000. This in from, I was just, where are you? The this in from, this is Susie Dent, etymology of the day, prevaricate, to behave indecisively and avoid important decisions, is from the Latin prevarication, to plough crookedly, or prevaricare, excuse me, to plough crookedly or haphazardly. Superb trolling by Susie Dent. Could be worse, Andres. You could be in the UK, as Kate had said. Andres, good morning to you. I'm also going to say good morning to Martin Sayer, who's joining us on the line from... you're up in Murphy, aren't you, Martin? Sorry, man, I missed that.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Good to have you with us. I've got a caller on the line straight away, so I'll just go straight to that one. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Gary here.
Yeah? Morning, Gary. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and happy New Year to Andreas there. A beautiful, wonderful summation when he first came out of his opinion. In answer to that lady that's just phoned up about knowing whether Spain or Britain, etc., I want to know everything about everywhere. We've had a family member died of COVID over the Christmas period, and I'm waiting for two phone calls for two people to pass away in the next couple of days. So that's why I'd like to know what's going over there, and obviously I've got families and friends over there that I care deeply about. What Jason said, I don't know. I know he's coming at it from a... And I'm with him on most points, but I think this is a big reflection. I'm always banging on about it, but this is all a big reflection on how selfish society is. And I think all the different cultures around the world are buying into that in one way or another. That's about it. I won't go on the rant, so there you go.
Thank you very much for that one, Gary, and sorry to hear the news and your family. Commiserations to you and all of yours. 952 78 4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Mars, what's your take on what we've been hearing thus far?
Well, going back to Jason, one of your first callers this morning, I don't necessarily agree with this thing about the animals. I think if you look at Wuhan, where all this began, that's where all the research laboratories are. If you're a resident of Wuhan, you can fly to anywhere in the world apart from another part of China. and nobody in China is allowed into Wuhan. And I think, personally, maybe it's a conspiracy thing, but I think it was a laboratory experiment that's gone terribly wrong.
Okay, I mean, that's the one that's been put around before. Andreas?
Yeah, the problem we have in the West, generally, is that our economies are based on mostly on mobility, and they are privately owned as opposed to state-owned like in China. The Chinese can take measures, but here are very difficult to take, and we have half taken them, and they haven't been effective enough. But it's a complete different model of economy and society as well. The Chinese have put an army of tracers in place to control the spread of the virus. Here we haven't been able to do that. Not in Spain, as far as I know, not in the UK either. So there's some of the measures that can be taken on a totalitarian state that, like China, cannot be taken in the Western world. And the reality is that we've been, you know, it has taken longer for us to solve the problem. In fact, we haven't solved it. The problem is still out there. We had this ray of hope with the vaccines. I know a lot of people are against vaccines, but never mind all that. The reality is that light at the end of the tunnel was given to us only a few weeks ago, and we are where we are, and still getting the amount of positive cases growing and so on. So, but it's very difficult to balance the Chinese model and the Western world model, and that's why the differences lie.
I mean, are you worried, perhaps, either of you, that, you know, people may be getting, if you like, lockdown fatigue? I mean, we've been in this since March. The UK has gone down into lockdown. Scotland's gone into lockdown. Northern Ireland's in lockdown. Germany's in lockdown. Spain, you'd have to say, it's not looking as if we're going to be able to get away without having some sort of, we're already seeing municipal lockdowns in various parts of the countries. Do you think that people are going to get bored with it? They're going to get fed up with this? They're going to adhere to it, Martin?
Well, I think we've got to stop being wimps. I mean, we come from a country, you and I, whereby the Second World War, you couldn't go out once it got dark because of the air raids. These days, we've got television, we've got the radio, we've got the internet, you know, we've got Netflix, whatever you like. We've got far more options than our forefathers had. So we're in a mess here, so let's just get out of it.
Andreas, your thoughts on, do you think this, you know, the Spanish were widely praised for their reaction to lockdown, more so than perhaps in the UK? Everybody seems to have towed the line. Would you think that people may react badly to the second, to a possibility of another confinement?
There's definitely virus fatigue in Spain, and no doubt there's virus fatigue in the whole of Europe. The problem in Spain is that we haven't been able to balance the economy. The figures, today's figures on unemployment are frightening, and as a consequence of the virus, we are on 4 million unemployed. The worst figures in December ever given were this December. So balancing health and economy in Spain has been, it's been perhaps more of a challenge than other strongest economies, or economies that are not dependent on certain sectors like tourism and so on, and the primary sector as well, agriculture and so on. So all that is made Spain really hit on the economic side of things, as well as the health side. To balance, as I say, to balance things in Spain in terms of lockdown and economy and everything else is perhaps more challenging than different economies.
952784000. Got a call on our morning call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Jason again.
Yes, Jason.
I was speaking, and I think you pressed the wrong button. When I was talking to myself probably about 5 minutes, Where did we get to when you lost contact with me? What was the last?
Well, I thought you made the point you'd made the point, Jason, that you thought that the virus was targeting mankind and that the planet was having a reset. That's going down the Gaia kind of route.
Okay, and what the evidence for that was the frequency of viruses over the last couple of decades, and on a small scale in the market, yes, viruses were transmissible, but in nature more so. And the point remains that only man has it killed in mass. The minks were in a mink farm in captivity, and then man killed all those afterwards. But the point I'd make is, I'm not anti-vaccine. Let's assume all the vaccines are perfectly safe. There could be a myriad of them, probably more than 10. The problem is now is because the countries have adopted a selfish national interest approach, nobody's considered the global picture of humanity. And the problem is we've thrown so many different types of vaccines at one virus for the first time in history. And the problem is that we don't control what nature does. So nature will do what it does, viruses do what they do. And against this concoction, this hack-up concoction of many different things thrown at it, it may give rise to a problem. Not because any one vaccine, but the combination thereof, of a multitude of vaccines. And this is a concern. And when people are on about mixing types of vaccines or second doses, this is also a voice of concern, because we're stepping out by the realms of known presidents in the past and knowledge. And it leaves so much about uncertainty. And I would say to you, the stakes couldn't be higher when we are running down a rabbit hole as quick as we can, intent on injecting the whole of our civilization. If we have overlooked something or there is a mistake because of the combination of vaccines, then we shall never emerge from that rabbit hole. And that is a genuine concern, not from an anti-vaxxer, but for somebody showing due diligence and prudence for what is yet unknown, Giles.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-784-4000. Pam, I want to come back. I'll go to Martin first.
Sorry, he was breaking up a bit, so you have to recap what he said a little bit.
Basically, there were a variety of things. We went down the sort of the route that nature was having a reset, if you will, and also this that we were looking at nationalist rather than globalist issues. I think it's a brief recap.
Right, well, I don't know if I'm like most, like some of your listeners, but I don't trust China as far as I can throw them. You know, they started off birth control in the 70s and the 80s. I think they were doing an experiment about culling older people because of pensions and all the rest of it. And I think the experiment went wrong. I don't think it's got anything to do with nature whatsoever, personally.
Joe, your thought?
Yeah, look, I think we'd have to take a practical approach to these and see the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is that these viruses has collapsed a lot of hospitals in a lot of countries. There is an excess death in Spain. There is in the 70,000. So it's. I know there's other viruses around, and I know, but to this one is a particularly bad one that needs to be dealt with quickly, because it's ruining the especially the Western world. So things have to be done and have to be done quickly to get back to some sort of normality. I know they're saying that even with a vaccine, we'll have to live with masks and everything else. But as long as we can reactivate our lives generally, and especially the economy, is what we have to aim for. And start thinking about the humanity and the viruses that are coming and going and so on. It's very well and good, but the reality today is that the doctors are tired, the nurses are tired, the hospitals are cancelling appointments for all the pathologies, and COVID is taking over. And unfortunately, I mean, it's incredible the amount of people are dying. If you look at the figures, since March, we are sort of getting used to listening the number of deaths, you know, but every family losing someone is a tragedy, and there's a lot of people touched by these. And what we need to do and concentrate is to get the virus under control. And it seems, or we have been told, that the only way of doing it is by
making these vaccines available to at least 70% of the population. And that's what we have to do. If that's the solution, let's do it. Once this is over, we'll think about all the existentialist ideas about viruses and humanity and the rest of it. But at the moment, we have a problem. We have to tackle it, and we have to tackle it quickly.
Do get another call online. Morning to you, live on TRE. Thanks for holding. What's your name? Where are you coming from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, good morning. It's Bertil in Shilshus.
Good morning.
There was a lady telephoning in about England visa Europe. It is Talk Radio Europe, and this is a guy in Frankfurt. I wonder who is the owner of this radio station we like so much. But now England has left, eh? They are just an island out there now. They don't belong to Europe anymore. And you just keep talking about England and England and England. You should talk about Europe in general.
We don't talk about Spain, including foreigners.
I'm Swedish.
Yes.
But that live down here.
Yes.
It's an awful lot of people. And we like this radio station. And we're fed up with England. They've left.
Right,
we don't
want
to hear about them.
Okay.
So talk about Europe in general. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you too. That's always a cheery greeting to start 2021.
Let's Talk, presented by Bill Padley.
Who knows what you'll hear next?
I don't know how we're going to get around this without offending some people, because there's a really great part about it, which is basically about the sex life of penguins.
All of her adult life, she suspected that Prince Charles was in love with another woman,
yeah,
with Camilla Parker Bowles, and everybody was saying to her, from the Queen Mother downwards, don't be such a silly girl, they're just friends. Mm. And of course, she realised she knew what the reality was.
Let's Talk with me, Bill Padley, Wednesdays to Fridays from 10 a.m.
And back to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Cottblanca.
Yes, Kate.
A quick response with greatest courtesy to the Swede and someone else who was thrown in earlier. Brits, in the, particularly the English, in living in Spain, are particularly volatile in their interests in Spain on the one hand and Britain on the other, because there's a great likelihood of, one, their incomes being cut because of the decisions, of the Brexit decision. I think it's said to be the town will go down by at least 4%, it might be 6%. Said, most of us have got friends and relatives in England, so therefore we continue to be very interested at this time of the pandemic. So we are not, this programme doesn't normally concentrate on British affairs. It normally does a fairly even both ways. But because of finance on the one hand and personal feelings for friends and relatives who are endangered by the bungling in Britain, we continue to be interested, particularly at the moment.
Thank you, Kate. That's well put and delicately put too. Well,
yeah, because I can completely understand the exasperation of the Swede. You know, anyway, it's nothing is a done deal until it's a done deal.
Thanks very much for the calling. Going live to the lines again. Yeah. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, it's Athena from Malaga.
Good morning, Athena. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Just to say that I had to laugh my socks off when you said what a cheery greeting for 2021. Honestly, I admire anybody with a sense of humour, and you certainly have it. That's why I admire you.
It's a blessing and a curse, Athena, I can assure you. Don't worry about that.
The tone of the voice of the Swedish man. And then your remark, oh, how funny.
Well, if we can bring a ray of sunshine. Thanks very much for the call, Athena.
You put a ray of sunshine every morning,
well,
and every day.
That's not what my psychiatrist would say, but there you go. Anyway, thanks very much for the call, Athena. Have a great 2021. Andres, I know you've got to leave us, so let's leave us with some points. You've got 2 minutes and 30.
I think your programs are well balanced in terms of the amount of...
A chip on both shoulders, my friend, yes, indeed.
The amount of subjects that you touch are very diverse and everything else. Of course, you've got a majority of listeners who are actually British, and of course, when they phone and everything else, it's normal that they compare
what happened in Spain to what's happening in the UK, like Kate just said before, you know. But from my point of view, I care about what happens here because it affects me directly. And to compare Spain to another country who's perhaps doing worse, it's no consolation because things here are not good. And as I said before, they need to improve them quickly. Hopefully that'll be the case. I'm always very positive, as you know, Giles. So that's where we are.
And what about the vaccinations, the rolls out? Do you see more in the next couple of days? Because I mean, a lot of the provinces, a lot of the autonomous communities, about to make decisions about where we go from here in terms of because tomorrow is the holiday for Three Kings. Some have said the 6th, some have said the 10th. Do you see some more imposing of lockdowns as we head towards into January, February?
In terms of the vaccine, it cannot get worse than what it is now. So, you know, it will have to improve the rollout of the vaccine. It can only improve. You can't, vaccinate less than 7,000 people in Madrid in a week. I mean, that's a ridiculous figure. So I imagine that that will improve. In terms of lockdowns, I can foresee that at the rate we're going now, maybe some more restrictions will come into play. Perhaps not as much as a total lockdown like we've seen yesterday in the UK, but more restrictions will be into place. I'd just like to add very quickly is that I'm surprised that we lacked the restrictions for Christmas, because hasn't done anything for the economy, and all it's done is increase the contagious cases in Spain. So, I mean, that decision was, in my opinion, a poor decision. The restrictions should have been kept at a higher level. So laxing for Christmas was perhaps the wrong thing to do. But we are where we are. Christmas is nearly over. One bank holiday tomorrow, and hopefully in the rest of the month, the vaccination program will go on, as the minister said, on cruise control.
And with that, Andreas, may I bid you a happy new year. We're back with new viewpoint, more viewpoint after this.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. The first viewpoint of 2021. If you want to get in touch with me, let me know your predictions for the year. Put your Nostradamus hat on. Let me know.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Indeed, Andreas has gone off to do some other bits and pieces, but I'm joined in the studio on the Skype by Martin Sayer. Just want to go back to some of the comments coming in over the past 5 minutes or so. If you want to get involved, you've heard the numbers. Epiphany has been and always will be on the 6th. 2021 predictions, says Richard. This year is a write-off. Thank you very much. Mean start the year as you mean to go on. I also got an email in here on studio at TRE. Hey, Giles, this is from Steve Hart. Listening now in New Zealand, unable to call in for obvious reasons. I think it's worth noting that overall UK mortality rate is no higher than in any other year. People with COVID-19 who die are determined by the media and government as having died of COVID when they may have actually had serious underlying health issues such as heart failure, cancer, liver disease, and died whilst having tested positive for COVID. They died with COVID, not because of it. COVID cases are just positive tests for COVID. A positive test is not a signal of imminent death. I know of two friends in the UK who were tested positive for COVID and sent home. Neither felt unwell. Both are 100% fine. If you have the time, download the monthly notifiable diseases reports. I never miss one. Count up the number of COVID cases, and it's less than 14,000 people in the UK for the 2020 year. That's cases, not deaths. It's a requirement that COVID cases are notified to the authorities. I wouldn't take the vaccine unless it's been tested on animals. Cheers from New Zealand. That's Steve Hart. Thank you very much in there. I do believe they do have phones in New Zealand, but I honestly, when we try dialing to New Zealand, the time delay is quite something. I did an interview once famously over on, I think it was North Island, and it was a comedy of errors more so than usual. Martin, let's have a look at what's been going on, because away from all the coronavirus and the vaccine discussions and the lockdowns, we've had the small issue as well of the UK finishing the transition period, and we are now quote unquote a sovereign independent nation. What's your take on that for business, for the markets, and all points west, my friend?
Well, the markets, although I've worked in them for 28 years, are completely flummoxing me, in as much that we've closed down last night, or the UK closed down last night, so you would expect the London stock market to be down. Oh, no, not. It's up. The most infected country in the world, America. This stock market went up last year by 10%. Don't understand it. There's no rhyme nor reason to anything that's going on. If you want a safe bet for investments, it appears the safest place to be is in gold at the moment, which you do exactly the same thing during the war, because it's neutral and it's a commodity. So the markets aren't reacting as I would expect them to do. The one thing you're talking about, the Brexit thing, it fascinates me, is I know a few people, particularly actually in this area, who aren't actually residents. Now, under the new agreement, they're only allowed 90 days to stay in the country before they go home. They don't have residency cards, etc., or even apply for TIE cards. So what's going to happen on the 31st of March when they're sitting in their villa in Spain and the Guardia Civil going to turn up on their front doorstep and deport them? It's going to be an interesting thing.
Yeah, as well as that, there was also a lot of people were saying, well, this whole thing with the customs and getting across from Calais into Dover and vice versa, and it seems to have gone thus far with very little hitches.
Yeah, but you've got to remember also, Giles is also saying that traffic is very, very light at the moment. Let's see, you know, when people get back to work by the next couple of weeks, how they actually cope with it. So I think you can't really pass comment there, because I think it's too soon.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Proficient. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996 795. Got a call on, I think. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. Hello, call, you're live on TRE. Now, we seem to be missing that one completely. If you want to get involved with that... Sorry, Martin, you were saying...
Yeah, can I mention New Zealand? Two things. One is, if you're having problems getting through to New Zealand, I've got friends in Wellington, and the signal works perfectly on FaceTime, not a problem at all. Now, going back to New Zealand, I think that is the beacon country of the world with coronavirus. Now, the population may be small, it may be 5 million, but within that, Auckland has a population of 1.7 million people. Now, they've only had 227 people who've contracted it, and they've literally had one person die. Now, if you look at 1.7 million people, so people understand the size of it, in America, there are only four cities, which are New York, Los Angeles, Houston, and Chicago, are bigger than Auckland. In Britain, only London. In Spain, only Madrid and Barcelona. So what they did, and this is the key to it all, is they closed down all international travel. The only people allowed back into the country were residents of New Zealand. At the moment, they got 72 cases in New Zealand only, and all 72 people have come back from abroad. In December, beginning of December, New Zealand did not have an active case. So there's a lesson to be learned here. And the thing is, it's a bit like this global warming stuff. It's all very well Britain, you know, cutting down their, what do they call those things? The levels of fires and all that, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, if other countries don't follow suit, we've got the same problem. So what I'm trying to say here is that whilst America is getting 200,000 people a day, never close their airlines down, never stop travelling. I mean, over the Thanksgiving weekend, 2 million people travelled to see relatives and friends the weekend before on domestic flights, did the same thereafter. Guess what? Their numbers went through the roof. And the same thing is going to happen after Christmas as well. So unless you stop travel, and people moving around, this thing is not going to go away.
But then you come across, you come across the impact. This is one bit's being weighed up because I was engaged in some debate over the week with a teacher who said that basically she was claiming, who works for one of the private schools down here, that 25% of children were feeling suicidal because they had been locked in and that, you know, they need to be out to develop. And you've got to weigh up against the financial and the mental health implications of another lockdown.
Yeah, and it's difficult. I mean, the children thing is in my opinion, quite bizarre, really, because I read yesterday that with a vaccine in the United Kingdom, nobody under the age of 16 is going to get it ever, you know. And
the vaccine, we said nobody under the age of 16 is going to get the vaccine rather than the virus, yeah.
Yeah. So anybody under 16 is not on the list. But also talking about the vaccine, they reckon that 31 million people have a population of 65 million in the UK. If they can get vaccines into them, that will stop 99% of the deaths. So this vaccine thing is really, really seriously important.
And the other thing, of course, is going to be the role of the vaccine as well. I mean, we heard Andreas saying that Spain has so far, you know, failed to hit its targets. You know, other areas, other countries perhaps are going to struggle, do you think, to get the vaccines delivered on time and administered by the... Because it's not just a case of, you know, rocking up and sticking a needle in yourself, is it?
No, right. And I think Andreas got a very valid point. Get the army involved. You know, they're not... Apart from sending forces abroad for the UN, they're not active anywhere. So get them to do a job for us. And there's enough of them.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Professional. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996795. Like, your thoughts on anything that's crossing your radar, basically, be it Brexit, be it coming back into Spain from the UK, could be Gibraltar. We're in open house. Going to take a quick break and then back for more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 996795. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Indeedy, Giles Brown here, live with the first Viewpoint of 2021. I'm socially distancing in the studio. Martin Sayer is social distancing a couple of hundred kilometres away from where I am, but by the miracle of technology, I can see him, I can hear him, etc. We had a couple of WhatsApps in, this in saying people exceeding permitted time in the EU may find it problematic when they next week to return, as passport stamp will show dates of entry and exit. Well, this is the new thing, isn't it, with the whole point. I mean, the Brexit has now happened. The countdown of Brexit has been and gone. We are in the new reality of Britain outside the EU. And do you think, Martin, that a lot of people are now only now waking up to what the realities will be?
Absolutely. I mean, this thing about the 90-day allowance, the way it works is that from the 1st of January, you're allowed to spend 90 days in 180 in Spain or Europe, actually. So 90 days roughly is the 31st of March. You've then got to leave the country and you're not allowed back until the 1st of July. So if you've got a home here, you really should be applying for a TIE card if you haven't already got a residency thing. Now, as I understand it, if you haven't got a residency card already, they'll probably give you a 5-year TIE card. And it's going to be so much... I've been in Spain 17 years. It's going to be so much more difficult for these people than it was when I applied for my residency card, because I didn't have to prove income, which you have to prove now. I'm told you have to leave a certain amount in a bank, which I believe might be 9,000 euros. And you have to have proof that you've got medical cover. And now, a lot of people haven't got 9,000 to leave in a bank, so they should have got themselves sorted out beforehand. There was something that they didn't do, but if they want to live, you know, Spain permanently as they are and going under the radar, that's not going to happen anymore. So it's a real problem for them.
Indeed. I mean, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday who said, you know, who's got parents who had never bothered to get residency, and I was saying to them, and the thing they were saying was that, well, we can just nip to Gib and back again. Well, it's not going to work like that, is it?
No, it's not, because Gib are going to become members of this... I can't remember what the word is.
Schengen Union.
Thank you, yeah. And so the same rules apply to Gibraltar as it does to Spain.
I've got a WhatsApp in here saying 90 days does not apply to Cyprus. Thank you very much for that one. I'm not sure.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that one. Also, somebody sent me the meme for the best moments of 2020, which you hit it and nothing happens. So there you go. But it is an interesting one. There was all sorts of confusion coming up as well. This was covered on extensively on the national news the other day as well, this whole thing with the Green Residencia and the TIE card and these people flying in or trying to get on flights for British Airways coming into Barcelona and then being some of them being deported back even though they had the right documentation on them.
Well, that's just craziness and lack of knowledge, isn't it? But, I mean, as I understand it, if you've got a green card, at the moment, you do not need to have a TIE card. But I've been recommended to get one in as much that, because on the green card, it actually said, because you are a resident of the European Union. Well, Britain, where my passport comes from, I'm not a member of the European Union. So down the time, I think we're all going to need TIE cards. And those who do have residency cards already, they say that you'll automatically get 10 years.
Right, okay, so that's that to look forward to. And also, there was also a big thing about crossing the border into Gibraltar, about a lot of people used to do the stocking up run, especially before Christmas. Well-known supermarket brands there, coming back with some well-known favourites. And horror upon horrors, some of the social media posts were going on as if they'd been dragged from the car by the Guardia Civil and beaten with the offending meat products. But we have got a situation here where there where you can't take dairy and you can't take meat into the EU from outside.
No, but you can bring back cheap cigarettes and you can bring back cheap alcohol.
So there's always a silver lining to every cloud then, Martin, yeah?
Exactly. It seems to be dairy products and meat only. I think if you went and bought a packet of PG chips, you'd be okay, but it's the dairy products and the meat.
Right, then we're getting some. But it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because people are sort of acting like people are. That information has kind of been out there, and we have kind of known that this is going to happen, and these are going to be the point. But now it's actually starting to happen to people. They are acting offended, if you like. And yes, but we're Brits, and we should be allowed to basically. You know, we used to run a fifth of the world, all the pink bits. Why shouldn't we just carry on like we have before?
Yeah, and also, I mean, I think I'm right in saying this. I think a quarter of the world is actually a member of the British Commonwealth. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't mean too much these days.
Indeed. Right then, let's go live to the lines. 952-784-1000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning.
Good morning. Who's calling, please? Happy New Year.
No, not happy.
Ah, Alf.
Best of New Years. It's never going to be happy.
Festive New Year, Alf. I can see you now pulling your cracker and just, you know.
Absolutely.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Ragnarok. How can I help you, my friend?
Well, first of all, I mean, interesting programme as usual, but one of the things about the virus, because when they brought out the Oxford virus and there was a big issue, and again, the way the media presented that they were only going to produce it for the UK, which is not true. They're producing the first batches for the UK. But to answer what Jason was saying about third world countries, poorer countries and all that, how about somebody, and I wish there was enough intelligence around the world who would share some of it, how about someone says, well, what we're going to do is we're going to make a country safe, we're going to stop all the travel, you know, to reinfect that country and move on to the next country. And when we've done that, because I think the Oxford one, they're planning to produce 3 billion doses, not 100 million, it's 100 million initially, 3 billion doses. Britain doesn't want that, so presumably it's being produced for its normal thing, the UK, Europe, you know, Western countries supporting third world countries and poorer countries, so that effectively you end up giving them free vaccines, because if they don't recover from it, the rest of us will just carry on being reinfected. So that was the first thing. It's a different way of looking at the same subject. The second bit was what Andreas always makes me smile when he starts talking about politics. The political factions should come together, sit down and talk and, you know, that doesn't happen anywhere. It never even happened in the Second World War. They had a ministerial cabinet.
But a government of national... What was it? Government of national...
Absolutely, yeah. Interest. And they, but they never sat down as political parties and had political discussions between political parties. That doesn't happen. So a few people... And if you watch what's happened in the UK, the opposition parties haven't sat down with the government and said, we agree with the new introduction of the new phase or this. What's happened is the opposition parties are being realistic. There's no way the Labour Party said that the deal that they've just done on Brexit was good. It's a thin deal, is what Starmer said. It's a thin deal, but we've got to go along with it because that's what's good for the British people. The same with the vaccine rollout, the same with the lockdown, the same with everything. So this isn't about political parties sitting down and coming to some agreement in a room. That's never going to happen. Never. Never in the history of politics has that happened, as far as I'm aware. But it can be that opposition parties will suddenly realise that if they don't go along with some of this, they will never get elected. And you know my opinion of Labour never getting elected. It's, you know, if they don't start changing, they'll never get elected. The third bit is... The third bit I've got is this bit about people who stay in the country. It doesn't, you know, without papers, etc., it doesn't help when organisations, I've always been opposed to self-appointed people, self-appointed organisations get together. You know, they're no more than pressure groups, right. and then they make themselves out to be something important. You know, one of them say, and this is where I will defend politics to the hill, but with the many lies that the politicians are still telling. The politicians haven't lied. What they've done is they've misled in terms of, you know, Tony Hancock, the clown health minister, comes on and says, oh, yeah, we'll be over this by...
Matt Hancock, you mean, not Tony, but...
Tony Hancock, right, okay, he's got the same script writer.
Exactly, thank you, yeah.
And he comes out and says, oh, you know, by the spring we'll be over this. And within 10 minutes on the television, all the channels have got their expert on going, think he's being a bit over-optimistic there. You know, it's not reality. So they, well, on a lie, that's his view, that's what he thinks. You know, he's not lying, and the politicians, any politician that lies doesn't last long in politics. However, they don't always tell you all of the truth, and they sometimes twist things and stuff like that. But also, in these people, and I was listening to the guy you've got on now, sorry, I didn't catch his
name.
Martin. One of the things about the people that are staying here is when you've got these organisations, this is what they say, many are now going to be able to continue their lives here without having to duck and dive or keep looking over their shoulders for fear of being found out. And for that, I am delighted. Well, I'm not. I pay my taxes. I pay my taxes here. I pay my taxes in the UK. We pay a lot of money to have... Well, we did pay a lot of money in taxes to have an embassy and a places you can go. And this is, we do not judge or chastise. Well, I think you do. Because in the UK, this was the problem before the vote on leaving the EU, with too many Brits believing that the country was flooded out with all these foreigners who were getting unfair benefits, who were getting housed, who were getting this, who were getting that, which was never true. But because you have these people who are self-perpetuating, and they go, oh, well, this is fine, we're helping these people to stay in the country. And it's called, I tell you what, most of them will still stay under the radar. And that's called, in the UK, an illegal immigrant. So why do they have to believe that it's not the same? Brits coming to live in Spain should operate under the Spanish system, should pay their taxes where they're supposed to pay them, they should do everything correctly.
Mm-hmm.
If not, they're illegal immigrants and they should be deported back to the UK.
Alf,
thank you, Giles, and all the best for the coming year, and to all the staff at TRE, and to all the wonderful listeners.
Alf, that's the cheery New Year message for 2021, my friend. Good to have you on, and I'm sure we'll have you back in a minute. Got another call. Stay safe, my friend.
Cheers, mate.
Got another caller on the line. Just one second, please, Martin. 95278-4000. Morning, caller. Thank you for holding your live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, he's Andreas again. I'm sorry
but I was listening to Alf, and I just want to make a correction.
Go on.
He says he's never been agreement in politics, in the history of politics. That's a big, big statement. It's actually incorrect. And you've got Alf, I love Alf to bits, you know, but sometimes he comes out with things that they're incorrect. And this one, you've got a very good example close to home, which is the Spanish Constitution was a consensus between all the parties. So that there hasn't been consensus or parties working together in the history of politics, that's incorrect. Just wanted to put that point across, Giles. Sorry to have hijacked your program again.
That's quite all right, my friend. No problem at all. 952-78-4000. Martin, come back on some of those comments you've just heard.
Right. I've never heard Alf before, but I think he's a top...
Blimey, that's an education for you then.
Top Johnny, I agree with pretty much everything he said. You know, if you live in the country, you've got to abide by the laws. And I mean, I was actually talking to somebody who isn't a resident, and I said, well, why don't you rent the house? He said, well, I'll have to pay tax on it. I said, well, you can't have it both ways, you know. And as Alf said, you know, they are basically living here as illegal immigrants, and it's wrong. I think going down the politician's route, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but, you know, people like Hancock, Johnson, all around the world, they're making mistakes because they haven't got experience of this and that. People have got to accept there are going to be errors here, and they're doing their best, and it's not an easy situation. But the one person I would make an example of is this silly Scottish MP, the woman who travelled 600 miles, broke all the laws in the book. This talk that she's going to go to jail, well, I wouldn't put her in jail. I'd give her the biggest fine they could possibly give her and let everybody, the Joe public, say, we've done it to an MP, we'll do it to you.
So to set a standard then, like we didn't see what happening with Cummings, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Say, for argument's sake, you earn £20,000 a year and you've already paid £2,000 income tax on that. Well, I'm going to fine you £18,000 and you're going to pay instalments for the rest of your life.
That's fair enough. It's interesting when I was listening to Michael Heseltine, of course, who was tipped in the 90s to be the next big thing until he had a spectacular fallout with Thatcher, obviously. And he said that Boris Johnson and the government reminded him of somebody who waited to see which way the crowd was running and then sprinted ahead shouting, follow me.
Yeah, and that's fair comment, but I'd say that the country that our previous caller, whose name I didn't catch, the country that I think has also done a good job other than New Zealand is Germany, because Germany just looked at what the mess Italy was in at the beginning of this, closed everything down, and look how many casualties, deaths they have in comparison with, you know, countries of similar size like Britain, France. They've done a much, much better job, and you've got to learn from other countries' mistakes.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 9967 95. Looking at some of the WhatsApps coming in, this in 90 days does not apply to Cyprus, not part of Schengen, so that's Cyprus. I'm going to sell my apartment in Spain to move to Cyprus. Spain will lose billions if they do not come up with a solution to the 90-day rule. Another one in saying that 90 days doesn't apply to Cyprus. Who says who? This is Richard. Duty free, is that Brexit benefits? As I thought, a lie, as opposed to living. That's on the Living in Cyprus page on gov.uk. Also, this one in. This is in from Mark. Cyprus. Good morning to you, Mark. Cyprus is not in Schengen. That's why. So I'm just going to check if Cyprus. If you know if Cyprus definitely is or isn't in Schengen, give me a shout. Go to the lines just quickly. 952-78-4000. Morning. Call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Oh, Peter, how are you, mate? Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you and everyone there. I wasn't sure I quite heard what Alf said, but then Andreas confirmed it, that politicians don't come to agreement.
Yeah.
Now, I've had many discussions with him over the last couple of months because I called him a quitter on the Brexit deal, and I said they would do a deal. I don't know how many times I said it, and Alf kept saying, no, I said he showed his cards too early. And they've done a deal, obviously. So there's probably the biggest political agreement ever sat right there, which he said they wouldn't do. They did. So I don't know why he says they can't do a deal or they can't come to agreement when they've just done probably one of the biggest ever. So, but trouble is with Alf,
he's a trained negotiator. And when you're a trained negotiator, there's a playbook to play by. So everybody knows he showed his cards far, far too early. But as I kept saying, Giles, nothing will change. They're going to do a deal. They'll do mini deals. It's exactly what they've done. Nothing's changed. And the things that a couple of people have mentioned are very, very minor compared to what was on the line. And why would they have not done a deal? You had to both. Everybody was going to lose from that situation. There's 28 countries involved, and everybody kept looking at a problem and not seeing a solution. Yet, everyone, all 28 countries, were going to lose. So why would they have never, ever done a deal? I just, every now and again, you get a gift horse. You get to look at a gift horse in the mouth. And in this one, you could see right down the throat of it. And I put my money where my mouth is, and back the bank stocks, and up 15%, the pound up 15% on the dollar, not so much on the euro. But I just could not understand where Alf was coming from when he said they wouldn't do a deal. It amazed me for someone who says he's a negotiator that he couldn't see that deal coming. So I'll leave you on that one.
Thank you, Peter. Happy New Year to you. Good to hear from you as well. Stay safe. 952-784-4000. Maureen, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Oh, no, and as my Welsh grandmother used to say, there he was gone. Martin, any thoughts on what you just heard over the past sort of 3 or 4 minutes?
I couldn't hear totally his call, but talking about the markets, after all this huffing and puffing and COVID and Brexit, at the end of 2019, the pound against the euro closed at 1.12.12. Well, at the end of 2020, it closed at 1.11.94. So there's been virtually no change.
Interesting. Go live to the line again. 952-784-4000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Yes, Kate.
Apparently, nearly £6 billion, £6 billion, I'm guessing, of euro-denominated share trading shifted away from the city to the new EU hubs on the first day of trading of 2021.
Right. So that's,
okay,
that
is an answer to someone's point about, and the, you know, the, why would anyone say that he won't do a deal? This is Boris Johnson, because he keeps on behaving very, very stupidly.
Thank you very much for the call. And I'm going to come back to those points about the financial centres after this quick break, the final break we get in before, because we're into the last 23 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Into the last 20 minutes or so of the first Viewpoint of 2021. Just want to go live to the lines and then go to Martin. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's John Mabea.
Morning, John.
Morning to you. Theresa May, when she was first negotiating, her priorities was Brits in Europe. That was her number one priority. Until she sorted that out, she wasn't going to allow the immigrants come from Europe into England,
right,
Britain. Now, that lasted about 3 weeks. After that, you've heard no more about it. See, she never went to Europe to negotiate. She went to Europe to cooperate because she wanted to stay in. And she's got the audacity now to be in Parliament, standing up, making speeches. She's done nothing for the Brits in Europe, nothing at all.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think what do you think we should be doing now then, my friend?
Well, regarding Brits?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it won't be long before each country will have their own negotiations and Spain will be number one. They don't want Brits upset.
Okay, thank you very much for call in there.
Okay.
Take care. Happy New Year and all.
And you, sir.
Take
bye.
Care. Right, Martin. We had that call about financial markets moving from the UK over to Frankfurt, etc.
Right, if I'm going back on the last point first, I read the other day that Britain was trying to do a special agreement with Spain, and I can't remember what the subject matter was, but it immediately got vetoed by Brussels. They said, no, you cannot have separate agreements. So I disagree with your caller. There won't be separate agreements with different countries. Everything has to go through Brussels, which is a pain, and it's going to make a struggle. Now, going on to the markets. Okay, I worked in them for 28 years. I worked in London, I worked in New York, Toronto and Buenos Aires. Now, I've been to America over 40 times, so I know the people quite well, and I worked in the American domestic market. Americans are quite an insular race. 70% of the country does not have passports. Now, most of them, don't, like the British, aren't great at learning foreign languages. And I think all this threat about going to Frankfurt, Paris, wherever, you've got the language barrier there. And I think London will always remain the centre of the money markets worldwide. It's a great place time-wise because it's halfway between Australia and Australia and America. And also you've got this thing called Lloyd's Insurance. Now, Lloyd's Insurance takes on all the big risks in the world. They syndicate out the risks to individuals and other companies. No country has got anything like that in place. So if you want to insure an oil tanker or, you know, a new airplane, whatever, it always goes through Lloyd's. Lloyd's aren't going to lose that. And I think off the back of Lloyd's and the banking, it will stay exactly where it is, because I think the Americans, who are the driving force behind this, won't speak the lingo of other countries and will always want to come to London.
We got another call on the line, 952-684-1000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, morning, Giles. It's Gary again here.
Hi, Gary.
I'm going to do a little bit of bragging now.
Okay, get
bragging. I was asked to do a, on strange circumstances, but I ended up on the stage at a local hotel, which is no longer with us, in 2016, before Brexit. Yeah. And some of your guests, some of your panellists, a number of them, who's listening at the moment, they're my witnesses. I said a number of things, and they've all come true, and I only wish I put lots of money on it. Because if anyone thought that the Spanish government would forego all the British people, and I don't care if I sound like a little Englander, which what I've been constantly been accused of the past few years, but they were never ever going to turn down the British people that come over here on holidays, etc., or make things awkward. My crystal ball says that Spain, even though they're not allowed to, and they've done it, and all other countries are still doing it, will come to a bilateral agreement with regard to Spanish to British people coming over here. And the so-called swallows, etc., that 90 days and 180 days, that will be changed.
It's an interesting one, though, isn't it, Gary? Because under EU law, they can't argue, they can't sign agreements.
Well, they've done three this week, I believe, going by what Mr. Ritson said yesterday with regard to security, and they've done it in the past, and a number of other countries have done it as well, which, going back, as I say, 2016, when I was on a stage, and as I say, the wonderful Mr. Brewer is my witness to this, I come out with all the legislation at the time, and for the God of me, I can't since subsequently, I can't find it, but I had it written in front of me, and I came out with this to about 200, 250 people. And I said this and I said that, and it all came true. We're now going through we've been in Europe for 40 years. And by the way, one of your previous callers said about Europe. We're talking about the European Union. We're not talking about Europe. No one's dragged us away, and they're not dragging us to America or Canada or Australia. We're still part of Europe. And I don't really want to say it, but I will do. We just didn't want some of us, the majority of us, the ones that voted, which I didn't have a vote, but we just didn't want to be in the EU, and that's what we didn't join. I'm saying the same things that I've been saying since 2016. I'm giving myself a bloody headache here, so I'll leave it at that, but I've been proved right, and give it the next few months, etc., everything has settled down, and dare I say we'll be in greener pastures.
I'm catching my breath, the thought of you and Alf on the same stage. It must have been a hell of a pantomime.
Well, he's quoted me a number of times, Giles, and I was a little bit annoyed many, many times, but as I haven't been given the opportunity to be on your show, I can't really counter that, so we'll leave it at that, shall we?
Thank you, Gary. I'll get you in, don't worry.
2021,
but take care there, Gary. Martin, just come back on some points if you wish to.
Well, I think Gary's got some very valid points, and I was saying pretty much the same. I mean, you have had between 12 and 14 million flights from the UK to 12 to 14 million flights a year from the UK to Spain. Spain is not going to want to lose that money, but they have to lobby Europe. And the big problem that Gary didn't mention is the French don't like us, and they're going to veto things. So there has to be a way around it. But as I understand it, when this all kicked off 4 years ago, Spain, they had the ambassador on Andrew Marr one morning, and he said we will have reciprocal agreements, but unfortunately the fact is Europe is vetoing those.
Going live to the lines again, 952-784-1000. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
Well, I just can't believe that I've stimulated so much junk, to be honest. It's Alf again. Gary and I never shared a stage. We were both in the audience, and it was a meeting organised by Tories Abroad when they were pumping the referendum. 75% of the audience were people who had two homes and spent most of their time in the UK, were of no, but they all sat there because they were all going to vote to leave the EU. And I'm not sure what Gary was saying about all his predictions, because it was easy then to make any prediction about anything. The biggest thing then was, would Britain vote to leave the EU? So, you know, let's stick with that. And the one thing I didn't say before, which is where I think people get it slightly wrong, I mean, this is a fair time ago. In fact, I remember being in the studio and showing, I think it was John and yourself, you know, I've got copies of all of the legal stuff from the UK about the agreement, the withdrawal agreement and all of that, and there is a deal between the UK and Spain on many issues that was approved by the EU, and it's called the reciprocal agreements. One of the reciprocal agreements covers the financial arrangement between the UK and Spain. So there are individual bits that will happen, but they all have to happen with the agreement of the EU. Unfortunately, the first time they did it, Spain just went off, or the UK went off, negotiated something or other. I think it was about travel documents or something like that. And of course the EU said, but you can't do that because it's an EU agreement.
Right.
And they were trying to change an EU agreement. But there has been for many years reciprocal agreements between the UK and Spain, and they will continue. And Gary, I love him to bits, but sometimes gets it a bit wrong.
Got to hurry along, Alco, because the call's coming. Thanks very much, my friend. Morning call, you're live on TRE. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John in Meehan.
Hi, John. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, mate. I just sent a message to Stephen yesterday and to ask Jill Rutter if Spain could unilaterally change the rules for the length of time people can stay here.
Right.
And she said she thought they probably could. However, she also gave some other information, which unfortunately was incorrect. So I still don't know. The problem arose, though, is that if somebody comes here and Spain suggests you can come for 5 months because you've got a house here, you've then got the problem with how they don't travel to the rest of Schengen.
Yeah.
It's not, I suspect it's an EU going to be, an EU, yes, regulator. And I know there are reciprocal agreements, like on health and whatever, but they can't do it on all of them. Just a thought.
Thanks very much for that one. Got another caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hi, it's John from Los Belitos.
Ah, morning, John. Happy New Year.
And to you, matey. See how we go.
Yes.
I think the simple thing now to think about is really that it's no longer political. The political side is gone. It's all going to be about economics. And Macron, who got a bloody nose for what many of us thought would happen if they did block Calais, and it's proved to be the case, the vast amount of those lorries that were stuck in Dover wanting to come back were all EU lorries with EU citizens on, virtually the lot. And I think Macron, who took it to himself to do that, got a bloody nose, because why should he unilaterally punish the Spanish who we buy a huge lot of vegetables and fruit from, and also the French as well. And so I think that's the change of it.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much for calling.
So I think that's what the change. It's now going to be purely economic, and that way we'll see, maybe get some common sense. The only thing I would say really is that there's a good chance the UK now might start buying its, not take a chance on Cali, and maybe start buying its fruit and veg elsewhere, which is detriment to the EU.
Mm. Well, we'll see. I mean, Rees-Mogg was saying we should all start growing our own turnips, so there you go. An interesting one. John, good to hear from you. Take one more call, and we'll go back to some emails and let Martin get back involved again. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning. It's Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon, and Happy New Year.
And to you, Giles. I've just been to a funeral, so I'm listening to the horrendous British exceptionalism. I'm just trying to find it. Why do we think we're so wonderful and that we should be exempt from all the rules in the world? There are rules to follow, whether you're WTO, whether you're whatever. And I just find it nauseating. The fact that Spain is also, I think it was Antonio Flores, said that there's been an awful lot of interest in buying from people to buy property in Spain from people from the Americans, from wider, further afield, who've probably got more money to spend here than we'll ever have. And just to think that we're so deserving and so exceptional, I find the whole thing. I want a thick bag. We're not thoroughly out yet, anyway. Well, let's see what the damage is along the line. And regarding the 90-day rule, I understood. I may be wrong on this, but I understood that it was in Schengen and non-Schengen. And I just want to thank Stephen again. I'm listening every day, Steve. I can't today, but I'm listening every day. Your information is so useful and so valuable. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks very much. It is my rare honour to be Stephen Ritson's warm-up act. Martin.
Well, I don't... Giles, perhaps you can answer this for me. Why doesn't Britain just join the Schengen Agreement and all this will be wiped out?
You've got me on that one. I'm not sure on that one. By the way, Cyprus is not in Schengen. EU member states who do not yet fully apply the Schengen rules are Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus and Romania. That's from an official EU publication, so you know that. Got a quick call in, which is going to be very short, hopefully. Gary?
Just quickly, yes, I'm not going to get in an argument, I promise, but if Alf asked Anne Hernandez, she was on the stage with me, right. And there's film footage of it on the television programme. And when you're talking about Cyprus, are you talking about Northern Cyprus?
Oh, that's another kettle of pesto.
I know, exactly. It's terrible. Ask Alf, he knows everything.
All right, thank you, Gary. Gary, let's go back to some of the WhatsApps that Martin and I are coming to within the last 5 minutes of today's live and lively show. So that was, thank you, Peter. That was the first page of the document, which is an official EU pay, publication. Julie's come back in. Peter, it's a rubbish off-the-shelf deal with no benefits, only losses. And here we go. Excuse me, this is in from Richard. Here we go. Let's have a look. Nothing sorted. Almost everything has been kicked down the road. Everything is down since the EU referendum. The Dutch, the Germans, the French speak better English than the English. What Martin and most Brexiteers have missed here is that City gained its predominant position because the UK was part of the EU. London managed to become the EU financial centre because it was within the EU regulatory framework, not because it is in London. And then Gary, the UK joined the EEC by leaving EFTA, a free trade bloc, so free trade could have not been its own motivation. So it is all, it's always about economics, hence a trade deal. Martin, your thoughts, any sort of closing? Yeah, go on.
Let's go with this financial thing. When I first started working in the city, which was, hang on, what was this, that query could be, 1973, in London alone, we had 360 different foreign banks that had nothing to do with the EC. A lot of them were American regional banks, Australian banks, etc. So it always has been the centre of finance, so I disagree with that. What else can I say? I just think the Schengen thing has got to be looked at, really. Oh, yes, I know what I was going to say, is that one of the reasons, I think the main reason why Britain did leave Brexit was because people got scared at the time about all these Syrian refugees, and the British public wanted closed borders, and we seem to have forgotten that. Now they've got closed borders, so whoever said something hasn't changed, that is the biggest thing that has changed.
Okay, but thank you very much for that one. Alf's being back on, saying compromise is not the same as sitting in a room agreeing. It's just a way of moving forward. The parliaments around the world compromise on lots of issues, many of which we never look at, but they aren't sitting around having a common government, just being pragmatic on issues. The Constitution of Spain was agreed by the Spanish Parliament after it being debated to find a common way forward. I did say that it would never make a deal. I was wrong, but the deal's not a good one. Even Theresa May told Johnson that her deal was better, and all the people who know are saying this is just another cover-up for a deal as only covers about 20% of the UK's GDP. Watch this space for the next 80% stitch-up, a deal I don't think so. That's coming in on the studios. If you want to get your final thoughts in.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
There's a quick one in here saying that the US banks couldn't do anything until Big Bang in 86. Somebody's been saying in here. That's a comment that's been thrown across the parapet at you, Martin.
Right, okay, what happened with the Big Bang?
Which was 86, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I was working through that. What I remember, what the Big Bang was all about was basically was banks could then sell insurance policies, they could get involved in various other financial instruments, as we call them, which before that, in the UK, banks did banking, insurance companies did insurance, etc., etc. And it just opened up the floodgates for banks to diversify their business, really. America latched onto that big time, so the banks could then start selling stocks and shares, and it just made the centre of London an even bigger financial institution.
And the rest, as they say, is history, as the saying goes. For better or worse, I still miss open outcry, mind you, but there we go, open cry.
Long time ago.
Long time ago, indeed. So where do you think, so finally, Martin, where do you think, because we're here, we've covered a broad range of subjects, but do you think it's going to be negotiation, sit down, this isn't a done deal by any matter?
Okay, when you buy a house, right, you buy it at face value, and then you start looking around saying, I need to replace that, I need to paint that, la-di-da-di-da. It's the same with an agreement. We've got the big thing out of the way, which was the tariffs. That's the starting point. Now we can adjust things accordingly. If Europe would allow us to, allow Britain to have separate agreements, that would help a lot. I think Spain's got to lobby for that because, you know, as we said, 14 million people fly out here every year. We buy their vegetables. So this is just the starting point.
This is just the starting point. And as I said, a lot of people have been saying that they want to see some sort of deal hammered out as we go, as we move forward into the quote-unquote new normal. I know a word that upsets an awful lot of people.
Yeah. And going back to COVID, it's not going to go away until you stop people travelling around the world.
Indeed. So wear your masks. I think we're going to see an upturn in spikes around because of the mingling during Christmas. So wear your masks, observe social distancing.
The best thing that happened, Giles, is people in Western Europe or countries in Western Europe have a really severe winter. I know it sounds horrible, but that's stopped people going out as well.
Indeed, so there you go. Martin, we're almost out of time. Thanks very much for your time today. Stay safe. Have a good rest of your week. Martin Sayer, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And also, just enough time to say thank you very much for all your calls in and all your letters. It's been great to be back in the hot seat here at Viewpoint. Hopefully 2021 will be a little kinder to us. But having judged from yesterday's press conferences, and we'll wait to see what happens in Spain, it's going to be a long, long haul. Thanks to Andres, as always, for his thoughts on the Spanish situation. My thanks to everybody for getting involved. Let's hear raising a large congas for 2021. This programme will be repeated at 6 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalog of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.